It's Inside Vancouver Opera. My name is Ashley Daniel Foote, and we are talking today with Vancouver Opera's head of wardrobe, Roberta Doyland. Roberta has had an amazing career, spanning over 400 productions. And just over a year ago, she joined us as head of wardrobe. Roberta told me about why costume is so essential.
As soon as the performer steps onto that stage, the audience knows who they are, knows where they belong in the world.
I had a chance to visit a busy costume workshop on the first day of rehearsals for The Magic Flute to talk to her just a little bit about what she does and why she loves it. I hope you enjoy the conversation.
When do you get started on a job like this?
I think I received the package at some point in the summer from COC, which is Canadian Opera Company, and I didn't really have a lot of time this summer to work on it. So I glanced at it, and then beginning of September, I really took a close look at it.
And when you say package, like, talk us through what that means. When you know that a show is being programmed or has been selected, what are the first things that you have to do?
The package that arrives is usually a digital file of all of the costumes that are coming from COC, all of their paperwork, photographs of everything, all of the measurements for the actors. 2 weeks to a month in advance, I will start pairing singers up based on their sizes to the costumes we're receiving, hoping I can match everyone. This show came in, and Magic Flute at COC was a much larger cast than we have. So that gave me some leeway in costuming for certain people. The principals, definitely, they're set in stone. With this production, we're really lucky. They're mostly similar in sizes. But with the chorus members, I was able to find costumes to fit all the chorus members.
You have a team of folks that work with you.
We work in a fairly small team at Vancouver Opera. There's myself, and my first hand is Lily Yuen. She is the head of wardrobe running at the QE Theatre as well. It's invaluable having her here, but she also comes with an immense skill set. And then I have a cutter, Stephanie Kong, and one stitcher, her name is Jen Reed, and she's been with the opera since I started. This team has been together since I started at the opera last September. Pearl Fishers.
A year has already gone by.
I know, a year has flown by. So I have Jen, and then I have one other stitcher coming in, Kate, who's also works at the theater as well. I get a very select team that are all very knowledgeable people in their field.
So the process, you receive the package, you match it to what we have,
yeah.
Then you engage your team because there's probably going to be some major changes, cutting and things like that.
I evaluate what comes into us. And once I figured out, okay, sizing is here, I can then look at, okay, what do we need to build? We don't make costumes, we build them. They're very structural theater costumes, particularly opera costumes are incredibly structural garments.
Why do you think that is?
They put in a whole life in a very short period of time. So they have to be incredibly well made. You know, you could wear opera costumes on the street, but they're lined and interlined and they've got little snaps and hooks all over the place to hold them together. So the singer can do anything in their costume without being inhibited. And so they're very structural garments. In this show, we're building three items that don't fit within the stock we have. So we have to build three pieces, which isn't much for an opera.
Are you working closely with the director in that moment?
No, I'm replicating items that COC sent. So we're replicating pieces from the original design, right down to matching the fabrics and the texture and everything else. So they look like they belong to the show. They don't look any different. So we hunt around to find the exact match to the existing.
So a show like this, which is a remount, that's the way you describe it, is a very different process than a show like Pearl Fishers. Is that fair to say?
Not really. So Pearl Fishers was also a rental. It came from Santa Fe Opera, and I didn't get any pre-time with Pearl Fishers. It was a show it rented, and it got stuck in customs, and it showed up a week and a half late.
Oh my
and
gosh.
We opened the boxes up, all of us going, okay, we're going to make it work. And we were able to make it work.
Yes,
plus, there was, in Pearl Fishers, there was another element of design that was implemented, which I took over, and
yes,
I ended up designing that element. There was two. There was the preamble of Western costume, on several of the principles, and then the social commentary with this three Sri Lankan dancers, which was absolutely lovely.
Oh, yeah.
To work with those, the women who came because they came with their culture and shared their culture with me in order for me to create a modern take on their traditional dance garments.
And then you designed Midsummer Night's Dream costumes.
I designed Midsummer Night's Dream costumes.
I think what I'm asking is if you can talk to our listeners about the key differences, aside from it being a remap and a design, what does the process look like for you there?
As a designer, it begins with a discussion, many discussions with the director on what their artistic vision is. And I had many discussions with the director. I would do a number of images up for her, sketches, renderings. I collaged a lot. I did a lot of written descriptions of what I wanted to achieve because it was a fairly tight timeline. You know, you gain a trust as artistic colleagues. And then it was like, here is everything. We are going to make it happen. It was a lot of building and a lot of cooperative. We were all stitching. As a head of wardrobe, I'm able to do, I am a cutter, I'm a tailor, and I stitch. So I can pop in and help with everything.
You have done this for a while.
I have done this for many years.
How did this become something that you knew that you wanted to do and become your vocation?
I have always sewn. I started sewing when I was about 3 years of age. And my mother could not keep me away from my sewing machine.
Really?
And, you know, Barbie dolls, boring. I'd rather dress people. And it's funny because I didn't go to university initially to become a costume designer. I wasn't in theater. I was doing an undergrad to go into law school.
No kidding.
I was going to be a lawyer.
Where is this?
At UVic.
At
University
UVic.
Of Victoria.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. And I got partway through my degree and went, this isn't working. And I started sewing for people, and I met somebody, and I went and worked at Expo 86. I'm dating myself now, and it was just like a whole new world opened up to me. And I had a blast, and it was just like, this is what I'm meant to do. So I went back to university. I worked for a few years in Vancouver. I lived and worked in Vancouver, worked for a costume company. And then I went, I need to go to school and get a degree in this. And I went back to UVic and got my degree. And have not stopped designing. My degree is Bachelor of Fine Arts in focus on design, but I have run shops over the years, and I also design and build. And I've got over 400 shows to my credit.
400
shows. Yeah.
They must all blend together sometimes.
No, they're all. And I run into people I haven't seen in 30 years, and it's like, hi, how are you? I still know your sizes. And then a number of years ago, I got enticed to move to Ontario, and I was a head of wardrobe at Brock University for 14 years.
So how'd you come back to Vancouver?
I was ready to retire.
Okay.
And I came back to the West Coast, moved back to the West Coast last July. And
surprise.
Within 5 weeks of arriving here, Nicole Lamb called me up and said, hi, I hear you're on the West Coast. Would you be interested in? And I went, sure, I'll do Pearl Fishers. And now it's a year later and we're working on Magic Flute. And I love it.
Why is costume design and costuming so important to the theatrical / artistic journey?
A costume design is integral because as soon as the performer steps onto that stage, the audience knows who they are, knows where they belong in the world, and can gain character without even the performer opening their mouth. It's that visual connection to the play. And then when all actors and all performers are on stage and in the performance, and you're, as an audience, looking at this as a whole, it becomes a cohesive world that is separate from the world you live in. Wardrobe supports the performer into becoming that character. And without it, you can tell. You go see theater without costume. You go see theater without a set design. And you can tell. Costume, particularly for me, transports the audience to that world.
What do you think an audience member should know when they're coming to Magic Flute about the idiosyncrasies of this show? Is there anything we should be looking out for?
No. Sit back. take it in, open your eyes, your ears. The visuals of this production are stunning. The music is, okay, sublime. It really is. It's one of my favorite operas. And it's a visual candy store. It really is. The costumes for this production are gorgeous. The set is lovely. And we know the voices are gorgeous. I can't wait to sit down in rehearsal and listen to them sing.
Costumes, my goodness, what a thing. Thanks, Roberta, for a great conversation. And I hope you enjoyed the insight into what I think is a really fascinating and essential aspect to our production process. Stay tuned for our next check-in with Vancouver Opera's head of properties, Stephen Elgar. I'll see you at the opera.